Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Christmas, happy holiday. 720 WGN and a happy Friday morning, Chicago. John Hansen and G Suki in today for Bill and Wendy. G, how you feeling right now?
I am feeling fantastic. So happy to be back here with you, and you are a ray of sunshine.
Oh, you are too, G. And you know, it's Friday, it's gloomy outside, but you know, for a lot of folks out there, this is the Friday. They got a few more hours of work and then they're bouncing, they're going somewhere. Well timed out with, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas on a Monday and a Tuesday. A lot of folks probably aren't working until after the new year. I mean, those are lucky people, but...
Yes, I hope so. And for everybody, I hope they're not stressing out too much. I hope they're not rushing too much. Stay safe out there as you run your errands.
Right. And tell you what, the world's burning where the government's going to shut down, you know, in a few hours and all this stuff. But we're going to be your ray of sunshine for the next 2 hours. We're going to stay away from some of that stuff. We're trying to ease you into the holiday break, right?
Yes. Only happy thoughts.
Only happy thoughts. And we want you to join the conversation, 312. 981-7200. You can talk, you can text, whatever you want to do. We always prefer if you call on in, though. A little bit later in the program, we're going to talk with Alexander Zalbin, the manager and editor of Decider.com. I'm going to talk about all things TV. It'll be a big week for binging on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon for a lot of people, so we'll have a chat about that sort of stuff. But we're actually going to jump right into our first guest, Jamal Cole. You've been on GN many times before. Your first time here at 303 East Wacker, Jamal, right?
Yeah, it's the best green room I've ever seen in my life. Oh. Beautiful. You.
Can you say that again slowly? The PPG Paints green room.
Best green room I've ever been in my life. You got the view of the river. You got the city view. It's amazing, man. I love it.
Yeah, Jamal Cole, the founder of My Block, My Hood, My City. I think a lot of people, thanks to, you know, you always coming on whenever you are able to do so. For those of the listeners that may not know, remind folks what My Block, My Hood, My City is.
It started while I was volunteering at Cook County Jail. A lot of kids, when you ask them where they're from, they say, my block is 21st Street. They say, my hood is a low end. And I say, y'all say that like y'all own something. Why don't y'all say my city? And when you peel back that onion, you realize they had never waved for a taxi before. They had never been downtown. You know, they order their food every day through bulletproof glass windows. Like, their whole worldview is shaped by their block or their negative or their neighborhood. And that's an under-resourced community. So that's tragic. I wanted to take these teenagers outside of their comfort zone and expose them to different cultures, professions, and cuisines. And I call it My Block, My Hood, My City Explorers Program.
So what sort of activities do you guys do when you are exploring the city?
Yeah, we can take them to a chiropractor to learn about sports medicine. You got to understand, like, most kids that we talk to want to be rappers and basketball players, but we can take that same kid to Gatorade and they'll learn about consumer engagement. Like, they never knew that job existed prior to us taking them there, so now it's possible. We might take them to, we might go to the Hallis Hall and everybody wants to play football, but when you take them to the Bears Stadium, they learn about the marketing, the product shots. They learn there's so many other things you can do besides catch a football.
And your story growing up is a fascinating one, and it really helped form this idea of exploring other areas, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. I come from an under-resourced community in North Chicago, and getting to college, my guidance counselor told me I should go to the trade school, go to Army. I didn't have the grades, so I stole a book from her office that said All-American Colleges, and I took it home. I applied to Wayne State College. They accepted me. I told my parents I was going to college. My mom said I was trying to be white. I told my friends I was going to college. Got my jaw broke on the block. I told my dad I was going to college, and he stole a U-Haul truck and drove me to Nebraska. So that's how I got outside of Chicago. But it was a interesting story.
And did you just flip through the book to find the one you wanted to go to?
God had a plan for me. I just opened the book up and I just ripped the page out. And I was actually mad it said Wayne State, Nebraska. I wanted to go to New York or somewhere warm. I was
You're like I'm going to open that book again. Yes. Through another page.
That was my Google. I didn't have an email address when I was 17. I didn't have a frame of reference or a perspective. I'd never seen a college graduate until I was 18. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it was unheard of for me to even want to go to college. So that was my, I didn't know about an ACT test. This was my opportunity. So I called 402-375-7000. A lady named Nancy answered the phone, and I was on from there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what about you, do you think, made you, when the guidance counselor told you should just go to trade school?
Yeah.
What about you made you say, hey, you know what? what little voice inside of you said, you know what, I don't think this is right. I think there's more for me out there.
I think it was...
Not that there's anything wrong with a trade school, by the way.
That's a fair point, right? We're or the army or whatever. That's a great career.
Yes, absolutely, no.
That's a great question. I think it was my ignorance. I thought that I was going to go to the NBA, so I wasn't taking it. I was like, I'm going to the league. You can't tell me I'm not going to Michigan. But I didn't know the difference between a D1, D2, D3 college. Right. I mean, from all I knew, Wayne State was Notre Dame, you know? And I only played 1 year high school basketball, but in the streets, they thought I was like Jordan. They was like, man, you know, you're amazing. So that's how ignorant I was. But that dream of wanting to go to the leagues kept me out of gangs, kept me from doing drugs. And so that like I was in poverty, but I didn't have a poverty of imagination. And I think that's what kept me resilient.
And I just want to clarify here, especially about that trade school thing and whatever you decide. Mm-hmm. I think now, you know, I think there's been this traditional belief that everybody has to go to college.
Some
and that's not necessarily
college, right?
True, yeah. Especially with all the student loan debt that's out there right now. A lot of people, trade school works for them. Yeah. I think the issue is that anytime anybody in an authority figure is telling a student that a part of the world is closed off to them is the issue, right?
Yeah, for sure. And when I was 17 years old with the long chain and the braids, you know, I'm a different person than I was then. So she was giving me some nuggets there because I didn't come to school every day. But at the same time, you're right. It's like, you know, don't project your insecurities or whatever onto me. And you're
right. It's her perception.
Yeah,
it
you know, when I graduated, you know, my first book, it was I was blessed to be published at 23. And I came back to the high school and gave the speech, and the guidance counselor was you know, she was crying, she was in tears, but it was crazy how it worked out. So.
Hey, so you know, the reason I wanted to bring you on is because you're such a positive person. We're all about positivity here today on this Friday. You did something recently you've done this before. First of all, you've done Shovel in the Streets when people need it, because there's a lot of people in our city that aren't able to shovel their sidewalks, shovel their their areas to get around. It seems like a basic thing, but a lot of people can't do it. And you decided to, you know, pull some resources together and light up King Drive, right?
Oh yeah, man. We lit up King Drive, every pole from 51st to 103rd.
Why'd you do this?
Well, I got tired of seeing just blue lights flashing from police cars, and I wanted the kids to see blue holiday lights. So my theory is, like, let's see some solar lights instead of surveillance cameras. Replace the militarization with some compassion. Mm-hmm. And so I was just going to do, like, one block. You know, I was like, let me do one block. And then I told a block club captain about it. And then everybody down King Drive to 51st reached out, like, what about me? So I said a prayer, and I went to Home Depot and bought his – I didn't know what garland was until a couple weeks ago. But
did you get the good kind, or did you get the outdoor stuff that really will wear and tear through the winter?
Yeah, I got the stuff that stays on for 6 hours and it's off 18, and it's like $49 a pop, but you know, it's 9 foot and then 12 foot. It's not like the ones you see on the poles in Edgewater, so hopefully the city
right. See, now, see, John's asking because we found out yesterday he will judge your decoration.
I judge Christmas lights. No, they look great.
But in all seriousness, I do cover neighborhoods for my series The Grid on the Chicago Sun-Times website. Okay. So in the holidays is when you can really notice the difference in resources that neighborhoods have, because some neighborhoods are lit up. They look like a holiday card.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then other neighborhoods are dark.
Yeah. And, you know, I know some people were asking me, am I trying to compete with the Magnificent Mile? But look, like, metropolitan economies like Chicago rely on all types of labor for Michigan Avenue to be so magnificent, I think. And I was not trying to compete. I was trying to work with the block clubs down the strip of King Drive. And it was beyond the lights. It was actually about people of all different colors, genders, religions, opinions, ethnicities, occupations coming together on King Drive to do something positive in an area that needs it. I think that's the real impact of it.
I'm going to take a quick commercial break here, but Jamal, you're going to stick around. I want to talk more about your positivity and things you got coming forward. Quick commercial break here on 720 WGN. WGN, G and John bringing the positivity here on this Friday. And a lot of people might already be catching an early ride out to wherever they're going for the holiday. And we hope that you are feeling really good. I'm feeling good having Jamal Cole here in the studio. Jamal, I just had a text come in, by the way. This is not to embarrass you. 773. Jamal is my hero. I love my T-shirt. I'm so happy to have donated to Reindeer for their Christmas project. Keep up the amazing work. You must be blown away by the support you've gotten from a lot of people in the city.
Oh, yeah, man. The city shows my block, my hood, my city love. We try to return it like Devin Hester, man. It's just I'm so grateful and thankful. So thank you guys for all the support.
And also we had a text. Sorry, G, to interrupt. 317 says, my sister-in-law told me a story where the guidance counselor at her high school told her that she would need to marry rich in order to be successful. She's a college graduate with a double major and holds an MBA in nutrition. Amen. You go, girl. Don't let anyone ever tell you to go down. But again, Jamal, a lot of students, they're not getting the messages they need. That's no fault. I'm not trying to call it CPS or anything. It might be in their home life. It might be through media. media, the way we portray certain neighborhoods in the city, the more noise they can block out and just do their own thing, the better off they're going
to
be.
Oh, yeah, man. We got to teach kids how to set goals. A lot of kids don't know how to set their own goals, daily goals, weekly goals, personal goals, business goals, educational goals, family goals. You know, I always tell kids, if your dream isn't waking you up at 4 a.m, the goal's not big enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to wake you up, and that's when you know you're going after it. And so I tell kids to dream big. If you want to be an astronaut, do that. But start with the small disciplines, and that allows you to develop the muscle it takes to take on bigger challenges.
Well, I mean, you dream big, and you've already accomplished a lot with your organization, but what is your ultimate goal? Like, where do you see this going? Where do you want it to be?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, every day is a battle between, like, inclination and obligation, I swear. I'm just trying to, keep faith and genuinely be a servant to society, because it's tough, man. You know, people see the tip of the iceberg with the marketing and the Facebook, but they don't see, you know, my wife having to go next door to put the hose on the neighbor's door to get water because our water gets shut off. You know, they don't see those kind of things. And everybody ain't built for this.
I was just talking to John about this before you came in. I said, I want to know about Jamal's personal life, because a lot of people think that, oh, when you give back to society, that it's an easy choice for you.
No.
But it is a sacrifice for you and your family and your lifestyle.
Yeah, you give up time with your family. I got a 5-month-old daughter and an 8-year-old daughter. I missed a lot of time with them. You know, my wife's done a lot more than her fair share of work. You know, we had our home foreclosed. You know, we've been through a lot. And so I think people see me on TV and they're like, oh, man, this life ain't for everybody. And if you're not willing to sacrifice your life for it, then fall back, because over time we're going to see who's consistent and who's not.
773 chimes in. Hey, I'm from Elmhurst. Suburbs love Jamal, too. And then they add my city, my block, my hood, my region. How, you know, people that are in the suburbs that may not encounter the differences in the stark segregation of our city and really how it is divided, how can people help? Because here, look, it's not only about taking kids to different neighborhoods. It's about us visiting neighborhoods that maybe we haven't been to before.
Facts. I mean, to truly make Chicago better, we need more people, young and old, to visit community areas outside their own. So look up from the cell phone when you're on the train and see what you can learn from different people or sites around you. Go get a bite to eat or get your nails done in a community you've never been to before. Have an appetite for adventure. Step outside your comfort zone. And I think that's how our city's going to become a more interconnected Chicago.
Can you share one story with us where you've been truly surprised by the impact that the organization has had on a young person?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, our students, everybody wants to talk about, you know, like data and impact, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, you know how many cell phone bills I pay, like Metro PCS's, and, you know, I go to kids' houses and all their lights are off. Sometimes I can't afford to pay my bill, but I'm paying cell phone bills. I think the impact is the students we drove students across the country to go to college. They were accepted in Chicago, but they stepped outside their comfort zone with us so much. They were comfortable going to Benedict College in South Carolina. I was proud of them because they tried out for the volleyball team and they didn't make it. But because they were persistent and didn't give up, they became managers on the volleyball team. So, and they were like, Jamal, you always told us not to give up and not to let this get us down. I was proud of them because guess what? They still get to travel with the team. They still get to learn work ethic. I'm really proud of that. Really, really proud of that.
It must just be, I mean, when we talk about shoveling driveways or putting up lights, to a lot of people that might seem little. Of course, you mentioned 50-some blocks. Nothing little about that. But do you think it's those tangible things that you do a couple of those things and everyone in the community, or at least a lot of people in the community, gather around it? It's those tangible everyday life things that then can cascade into changing a community.
Facts. I mean, my philosophy is democracy starts on the block. So if you ask some people in Chicago, you say, hey, man, why does your block look like this? They say, oh, man, the city is messed up. The weather is messed up. The politicians is messed up. They say the schools is messed up. I think their philosophy is messed up, because instead of blaming things on other people, you can say, what's something simple I can do? What can I make myself do today that'll have a positive impact on my block? And that's my philosophy.
Instead of relying on necessarily from top down that the government's going to come help us out in certain ways. Interesting.
Exactly, man. Robert Kennedy said, every time a man stands up with a new ideal, he creates a tiny ripple of hope. And together, those ripples can create a wave of change that can knock down the mightiest walls of oppression. So what kind of ripple can you create on your block in Chatham that can maybe somebody creates a ripple in Pilsen, and they together over time, it can create a wave that can make Chicago more interconnected?
I'm always amazed by people that have the least access to resources, how resourceful they are in terms of literally doing it themselves, pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, you know. And we take that for granted, especially folks that live in neighborhoods and areas where we do have a ton of resources, and we do call 311 and we get an immediate response. And it's a fact of life that you've got to do it for yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you, right?
If you can make it in Chicago, you can make it anywhere in the world. Teenagers that grow up in under-resourced communities are very resilient. I tell them all the time, they've set in trends throughout the whole world. It's not regular for helicopters to be landing in your house at night. It's not regular for German shepherds to be sniffing you on the train on 79th Street every day. It's not regular to have to order breakfast through bulletproof glass windows every day. You got to be resilient and resourceful to make it out here.
I got a text from the 312. I imagine a lot of listeners feeling the same way. Maybe inspired by your words. It's the time of year where giving is important, and we don't want you to not have your lights on, although I'm sure you'll use any resources and donations to other people. But Jamal, how can people help? How can people give back to help your cause?
Yeah, I would say I would love for them to just explore Chicago. You know, go to a community you've never been to before. If you want to support my organization, great. We're at formyblock.org. That's formyblock.org. And you can help, you know, sponsor a teenager to get them through the year of our Explorers program. We want you to, if you work in a business, you know, we want our, in my community, there's 15 currency exchanges and no banks. If you work in the finance industry, host our students on the expiration. We'll bring 15 kids to your bank, and so we want to learn about the job inside. We'll come to a chiropractor anywhere. We just want to expose these kids to more cultures, more professions, and more cuisines, because they deserve it.
And, you know, somebody listening may not have the time, right? But you can donate a little money.
Right.
Directly, too.
That'd be great. Yeah, formyblock.org. You can definitely donate. We are a 501c3 organization, so everything is tax deductible. We survive by donations, and we got really great apparel, too. So we love to see y'all repping that.
It is awesome apparel. In fact, I was on the jam one day, and someone, you know how it happens when you're reporting live on location, someone comes up from behind you just to mess with you on air, and I turned around. I was so angry live on air, but he had a My Block, my
set. That was awesome.
He was like, you're okay.
I was like, you're fine, but never do that again.
That was dope.
Jamal, thanks for stopping by, man. And give out that website one more time.
That's formyblock.org. Formyblock.org.
Have a great holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to y'all, too.
We'll be right back. Yeah. 720 WGN. I got a little of your whoop there on G. I turned on the.
Oh, you did?
I got a little of your whoop, but that was perfect.
Whoop.
You can whoop here.
Whoop.
720 WGN. G Shook. Yeah, I didn't give you a chance. You kind of mentioned it. You work for the Sun-Times now. The Grid. Cool new.
Yeah.
Not new now, but you've done it for a while. Yeah,
yes,
give it a plug.
I've been doing it since April. It's a web series. I do a video story along with an article. I'm trying to go visit every neighborhood in Chicago and micro neighborhood, because, you know, people break down the.
Right. Because there's 77 official ones, but there's way more than that of the others.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And people are very, very proud of their neighborhoods.
Sure.
And very protective. The borders change. People that live in the neighborhoods get to determine where the borders are. That's my determination at this point.
You know, I had a really fascinating, this is still when I was at DNA Info, which is now Block Club Chicago, giving them a shout out. I had a really fascinating conversation with a professor who studied the history of Chicago, primarily like 1850 on, about the evolution of Chicago's neighborhoods. And while we now identify neighborhoods mainly by their names, the Ukrainian Village, which still has a lot of Ukrainian folks living in that neighborhood, but the neighborhoods obviously changed so much. But what neighborhoods used to be, and this is, I guess, isn't all that surprising, but they didn't really go by name so much as they went by the parishes. Everyone was divided by their church and divided by where they congregated.
Well, listen, Chicago is still that way. There are a lot of people, the first questions are, what parish do you belong to? What church did you go to? What high school did you go to?
Right.
And then, of course, I can't answer any of that because I didn't grow up here, but people have still been nice to me, though.
I think it's one of the things that is slowly, I mean, changing. It will continue to change. Mm-hmm. Some neighborhoods change slower than others by design. Some people didn't move away. Some people have always stayed there, and they have deeper roots, I guess you could say. Some neighborhoods seem to change every 10 or 15 years or generationally.
Yeah.
The blue line, if you go west on the blue line, obviously, Wicker Park has gone through transformation. It's already past transforming. Yeah. Logan Square is almost doing the same now. Avondale. Pretty soon, the hipsters are just going to be a Terminal 2, like at O'Hare, like setting up camp there.
Change is constant. Of course, there's more serious issues that arise from that, too, like gentrification and all of that. But, the city is constantly changing, right?
And you're covering all of it.
I've tried. do a little bit. I don't know.
Hey, so we want to talk about being an adult. Technically, we both are. We don't act like it sometimes.
I am failing at being an adult.
I think in many ways we are all failing, and some in more deeper senses, and some in more just in surface sort of ways. But one high school is trying to combat that, right, G? Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Well, they are actually teaching kids adulting class. And these classes include learning how to change a tire, learning how to cook your own meal in a dorm room.
Mm-hmm. Credit cards.
That's
a big
so
one.
Important.
That's a
finance.
Big one.
Oh,
I learned how to balance a checkbook, so I graduated in 02 from high school. And I was like, well, this is just math. Why don't you teach? And years later, I would look back and I'm like, why didn't you teach us about credit cards? Because every new kid that goes to college, they want a free T-shirt, so they sign up for a credit card, not realizing what APR means, what all those things
mean. Well, not only that, you just start charging away and you think, oh, I'll have enough money to pay this off. And then you're like, wow, $50 adds up to $100 and $100 adds up to thousands of dollars really fast.
Well, and it makes sense now when you know it, but it's something that I think we think these kids might know.
Does it make sense to you now?
It does.
See, I'm still learning.
I host the business lunch. Steve Bertrand's given me a lot of tutorials on credit cards so I can fill in for them.
You know what? It's a very important thing, finance. I think for me, I grew up in a single parent household. My mom raised me, but my dad died when I was pretty young, and she was just so busy trying to make ends meet that it never occurred to her that she needed to teach me how to handle my finances. And all I ever saw her do was like juggling. It was like a juggling act.
Right.
So I thought, that's what life is like.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids, I think, that come from that sort of situation, they don't know how to deal with their finances and budget. Budgeting is really important.
And
who would have known?
And I agree that I think that, some people might say, well, that's up for the parents to teach, and maybe there's an argument to be made there. But like your mom, you're juggling a lot of things. I think our schools would do a good job of it. Okay, so this is out of Kentucky, and it's just for one day. So it's not credit card for a whole... So they're still doing algebra and science and all that stuff, but for one day, they scrap it all, and the kids get to kind of choose what they think they know less of. So let's say you learn how to change a tire. You don't have to go to that one. And I think this is brilliant. So what I want to do, 312-981-7200, talk or text, we'd love for you to call in. And for some of our more interesting answers, I'll give away prizes.
Oh,
what would you want, now that you are an adult, I assume most of the adults listening, I guess if we get some high schoolers listening, maybe you're off early or ditching, give us a call, 312-981-7200. What is the one thing that you wish you knew or could have been taught your senior year of high school? Hmm. What class could you have taken that would have really prepared you a little bit more?
There should have been a relationship class, too.
Yeah, I mean,
I think... Don't ever move for a man. Don't ever move... Don't ever move across country.
Don't ever move for a man 101. That's an interesting one. Yeah, relationships are difficult. I imagine that's a little harder in the school to do that. But no, it's a good one. No, hey, relationships would not be the worst thing in the world to teach, at least in... I know public schools wouldn't be able to handle it in the best of manners. They'd have like a banana and a peach, and they'd try and figure out how to teach kids how that all works. But
I am well into adulthood. I am close to middle age at this point, but I still would need more than one day to learn about adulting.
Well,
I would need like a solid six months, I think. Yeah.
No, I really like the idea. Like changing a tire, I think I learned when my tire exploded for the first time, and my poor dad had to drive down to Interstate 57 down near Kankakee, about an hour away from Downers Grove, and he was more than happy to. We call my dad Batman. He does everything in the world, and he probably really enjoyed doing that for the morning, or for the whenever this was. That's how I learned, and I still don't know for sure if I'd be able to do it. So
I think I did it once, but now I just have a AAA membership.
Yeah, exactly, and you're charging it to your credit card. All right, let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on the line. Dave, what would you want to learn about most?
Hi, good morning. I'd love to learn more about just basic home repairs, whether it's carpentry or plumbing, so you don't have to always be calling the repairman.
Yeah, so you mean just like the basics, right? Like maybe changing the ring out of the toilet on the bottom thing. I have to do that on my toilet, and everyone keeps on telling me, don't hire a plumber to do it. You can do it yourself, but like, I can't do that.
That is impressive.
Exactly. I mean, I've learned by, you know, just taking something apart, but whenever you take something apart, you always have one extra piece when you put it back together. So I think some of those basic things would help.
Listen, Dave, right now, I don't even want to look into my utility closet because the water heater has some sort of weird growth on it. I don't even know what it is.
You got to get on that.
I don't know. It's crusted over. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Hey, Dave.
Come over. Call me. I'll come take a look at it.
You said you don't know anything about it.
Well, we'll all look at it, all three of us.
So together we'll be puzzled.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, we appreciate the phone call. I think we got Efrain on the line with a really interesting one that is a lot more confusing than people realize. I think, Efrain, am I saying your name right?
Efrain.
Sorry about that. All right, what are you calling it? What do you think we should do? What's the adulting class we should take?
How to choose the best health insurance plan. It's so confusing. Like, you have to meet deductibles. You don't know what's going to be covered, what's not. You know, when you're a kid, you just kind of like your parents take care of all that, but no one ever really teaches you how to do it.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
So this is your first year. Is it your first year off your parents' insurance?
No. It's I've been off of it since I was like 19.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's like the first year where I'm really like, I've been using my health insurance more, and it's just all confusing.
Do you?
I'm learning a lot, but it's really hard.
Do you just pick the cheapest one or no?
I have the HMO plan.
Oh yeah,
it's the cheaper one, but it's
hard.
I'm young, I'm still healthy, so I don't really need the best. But yeah. It's confusing.
Yeah, HMOs are tough. Hey, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. Yeah, because HMOs might be the cheapest, but it's so hard to find the doctor in your network.
Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes PPOs are better.
I just switched over to HMO, and I don't know what I did.
Oh, you're in trouble.
I have no idea.
Start making some calls.
And then I have friends that are trying to do the Affordable Care Act, and my goodness, that's complicated, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish we could help you guys.
They call me the 401k and health insurance whiz at the office, because I've learned a lot about our health insurance plans at the U, Channel 26, and I kind of help everyone out through that process.
Well, how is that going to help me, John Hansen?
Well, it's not. So just send me your plan. I'll try to help you out. Let's go to Karen. Let's try and help her out. What's an adulting class that you want to take, Karen? You're on WGN.
Hi. Well, I was telling your girl that I'm 58, and they didn't have this back then, but I would have given anything to have hooking up electronics and understanding them.
Oh, so yeah. Like the TV with all the different cords and stuff?
Everything.
Or like
everything. Well, I'm trying to get rid of cable right now, so I buy this Fire Stick. So I plug that in, but then you have to have an antenna, or you don't. It's making me crazy. And then you can't get two, because two doesn't come in if you use the antenna. It's just so frustrating.
Karen, I'm going to confess something to you right now. This is G. I'm going to confess to you that before I have bought a new electronic because I couldn't figure out how to get the one I had to work. So I just like scrap it. I'll just start all over. I'll buy something new that has less plug-ins.
I'm right there with you. Yes, but we don't have a smart TV, so I'm making it into a smart TV. Yeah. So then I can have the Fire Stick, and it's just ridiculous.
You're sending that TV to college, yeah.
But listen, do you have any children, nieces, or nephews that you could just, when they come over for the holidays, this is when you just dump this whole project on them?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're all a little bit electronically
you've passed that on.
It runs in the family.
Yeah, I just passed it on.
He says
my two adult children, they live out of town. Well, they actually live in the city, and I live in the suburbs. So they come here, and they're like, what did you do now?
Oh, Karen. Tell you what, I like that answer so much, I'm going to give you some electronics. We're going to get you a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Man, call 855. No problem. Call 855-955-HVAC. Stay on the line, okay, Karen, and have a wonderful holiday, okay?
Yes, oh, my gosh, I love Karen.
Now, Karen's the best. She's so excited about this. Karen, have fun figuring out the TV, okay, Karen?
Oh,
and don't get rid of the radio. Okay, stay on the line. Okay. Karen had a good answer, too. I appreciate that. The electronics thing is always a little bit difficult. A lot of texting coming in. 6 years says how to care for a lawn or a house.
Oh, yes.
Like, how do you, you know,
do a
garden?
I just plan on never having a lawn.
Exactly.
I'd just be a renter for life.
Balancing, there's a lot of financing ones. Balancing a checkbook, saving money, those all the sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different issues out there. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, G, but we got a lot of other people on the line. I got some other prizes to give away. So call on in, 312-981-7200. The thing that you wish you had a class on. And we're getting some really great answers. Let's get some out-of-the-box ones. What are those things that you're like, oh, yeah, that would have been good to know if I was a senior in high school that now, as an adult, I don't know. Plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hey, for anyone out there getting an F in adulting, or maybe a D, G, what would you give your grade in adulting this year?
Well, this year was an epic D. Overall, I would say I'm a solid C, minus.
But this year, so you're scaling down a little bit. So we're talking about a school in Kentucky. They held an adulting day, how to be an adult for seniors in high school. And we got some interesting texts, not only about things, so we're asking people what was a skill or something off-ball or oddball that you now know as an adult, or you wish you knew as an adult that you wish someone could teach you when you're younger. And we did get a text from the 630. I just don't understand what's going on. Are parents completely giving up on teaching their kids life skills and now expecting schools to do everything? Do they just conceive their kids and let them, I think this is out of order, let other people take responsibility to educate them? We have three kids. We actually thought it was our job to prepare them for life. Well, that's great that you handled everything. I wonder what their kids would say. I wonder what they might say. Well, they didn't prepare us for this. So maybe you do have some blind spots, 630. But I wish that, maybe I was just not up to listening to what my parents, maybe they were trying to teach me some things and I wasn't listening.
But also it's about active learning, like it's one thing to have somebody tell you how to do something, but you almost kind of need to like have these lessons reinforced by like trying and doing it and that sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we got a text from the 219. I wish I could have gotten some advanced knowledge on what it takes to raise kids before you had six of them. Six. And you're figuring it out now. Let's go to the phone line. What adulting class would you like to have? Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on 720 WGN.
Hey, guys. Actually, I'm super lucky because I grew up in a New England household. My dad... instead of, throwing the ball and hanging out, he made me get in and throw a hand. And just to your point a second ago, had to help him fix the car, learned electrical, learned plumbing, learned how to fix stuff around the house. But I will say this, be careful what you ask for.
What do you mean?
now I'm absolutely hamstrung because every time I get together with relatives and everything else, I'm the one hooking up the new TVs, fixing stuff, helping here and there. And my brother-in-law, who's an attorney, is so funny. He's like, really? You're that dumb? I go, what do you mean? He goes, I told him I didn't know how to do this years ago. Now I get out of everything.
Well, tell you what, I got Karen's phone number. Can you go to her house, help her hook up the TV?
Not just Karen. Hey, you need to come over to my house.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate the phone call. Have a great holiday, okay?
Thanks a lot.
So we got one guy that knew
everything.
Do you
know how attractive that is?
Are you attracted to Mike? I got his number right here if you need it, G.
I'm sure Mike is happily married with a beautiful family, but I'm just saying that it is very attractive in a partner that they can do those handyman types of things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, forget the making a lot of money. If you can fix everything that gets broken in the house, that already saves us tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Amen. I just call my brothers and my dad. They're great at it. So I had no excuse not to learn how to do this stuff. Let's go to Anna. Is it Anna or is it Anna? You're on 720 WGN.
It's Anna.
All right, Anna. So you've got a really interesting one, unique. Tell us about yours.
Yeah, I think it would be great information to know not to pay sticker price when you go to buy a car.
Amen.
Or a house, for that matter.
You're right. So have you paid sticker price and learned later that you shouldn't have, or are you just not good at negotiating down?
Yeah, I mean, even my dad, he would not barter or anything. He would just, that's the price? Okay, he'd pay it because he's such a nice guy. Not until later when I was married, we'd go to get a car and my husband would say, no. I'm going, what are you talking about? No, that's the price. And he goes, no, watch, just wait and watch. I'd go, I was sweating bullets in the office, and an hour later we finally got the price that we wanted, but...
Anna,
oh gosh, I had no idea.
Anna, I have a sense that you're a very sweet and kind person, because I think you're talking about the art of haggling. And generally, you have to have a poker face and, just a constitution of steel to haggle. I can't haggle. I'm the worst haggler.
And are you from the Midwest originally?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I think we don't do it as well here.
I mean, I'm supposed to be a good haggler, actually.
Are you a good haggler?
No, I'm supposed to be.
Oh.
I come from a long line of people that haggle, but no way. I don't.
You're talking about your ethnicity.
Yes,
okay, all right.
Yes,
well, you said it, I didn't.
No.
Anna, tell you what, if you, you paid sticker price on a car, that's too bad, so I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, also now open in Orland Park. How does that sound, Anna?
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right, stay on the line. Jasmine's going to help you out.
She needs that. Anna needs that because she's already paying, overpaying for everything.
Here's one I think we can all get behind, and it's something that I really struggle with. Gee, I know you do too. Let's go to Cindy. Cindy, you're on WGN.
Hello. Great conversation. I wish I would have learned how to relax. I think life's so hectic, no matter what age you are, and I think it would have been beneficial.
So, like, either have, like, a stress relief part of the class or just, like, ways on how not to sweat things, you think that would have been good?
Yeah, or just, you know, how to breathe properly.
Meditation.
Yes, when you're in a tough situation. I mean, we all have them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, Cindy. Tell you what, I'm going to help you relax right now. How does this sound, okay? I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Will that make you relax a little bit?
Then I'll worry about working out.
I know. Listen, as far as the emotional eating goes, I'm doing a lot of that. So
right. So tell you what, I agree. We got to learn how to relax. Stay on the line. You're going to win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicago. Ooh, I like the in the middle of that sound effect. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com.
Well, we've got to learn how to relax, especially during the holidays, because it turns into this like to-do list versus really enjoying your family and understanding, like, you know, the reason for the season or whatever, right?
Right.
Whatever you're celebrating. And especially with social media now, too.
Absolutely.
Every day. You can't relax.
You can't
the
relax.
Times that you're, like, before bed, you're looking at social media.
All
the first thing
time.
You do when you wake up.
It's the worst.
When you're on the toilet, you're looking at social media. Is there no sacred time in anyone's life now?
Wow. She just went off the deep end there, Steve.
John, I don't know what she's talking about.
You're not at all? You're not?
I don't get that. What?
OMG. Hey, Cindy, stay on the line. We're going to get you that Lou Malnati's gift certificate, okay?
Thank you.
Have a wonderful holiday. Yeah, how to relax. That's a good one. A lot of texts come in. Maybe we'll be able to read them in just a bit. We got to take a quick commercial break here on 720 WGN. I'm getting happier with each passing minute. Not just because I get to spend time with you, G, but which just made me happy, of course. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everyone has got to be inching towards what is hopefully a long winter break for them. I'll be here in the next couple of weeks filling in for Steve, actually, on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Don't mean to tease that, Steve, but I'll still be here. And I'll be in for Bill and Wendy on Monday as well. But, you know, it's always fun to be here at WGN, but we're off the jam a couple days.
I love it when you fill in for me. I love to...
To critique.
Well, I know. And gee, he appreciates it. I send him notes in real time.
That's great.
He sends me suggestions for questions, things that I've done wrong.
John, in the future, they're not suggestions.
Right, exactly.
You know what? It's teachable moments.
That's right.
Exactly. And I do appreciate those texts, Steve, anytime. So obviously we're coming up on the holiday season, and we're already here with it. But, I mean, a lot of people are going to have some time off. And what we should be doing is going outside, exploring lights, enjoying time with our family, all those wonderful things that we all say we're going to do. And for the most part, we all get at least a little time of that. But, gee, oftentimes what it turns into, if you have a couple days off, is sitting on that couch and binge watching Netflix.
This is how I know for sure that I have failed at adulting, because
right.
I start binge watching. I don't get out of my pajamas. I end up staying in bed with my computer, eating in bed, ordering food delivery, and eating that in bed. There's crumbs everywhere.
Sounds like a great life.
Like food on my pajamas. It's bad. And then I stay up till 3 a.m.
Right. Well,
binge watching.
And a lot of times we binge watch the same shows. Anyways, also in his pajamas on the couch, we're joined on the line now by Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. Alexander, thanks for joining us here, even though the Bill and Wendy are off for the week.
Yeah, thank you so much for chatting with me, and I don't know how you knew about the pajamas or the couch, but I appreciate it.
So I wanted to jump in first because, you know, Netflix is obviously a big tool for people watching. That's how a lot of us watch our TV shows now, our movies. So I guess we have an article about the most binged watch thing on Netflix for the year, and it's not a recent show. It's a big winning show, of course, many awards. What show is it, Alexander?
Well, there's a little bit of an asterisk here, but the most binge-watched show, according to a study, was actually Friends over the past year. The number two show was Grey's Anatomy, and the number three, I believe, was 13 Reasons Why, so at least you're getting a little bit of a Netflix original in there.
Mm-hmm.
The asterisk is this is based on the TV Time app, which means it's not necessarily actual viewers, it's people who are saying, I watch this show.
Okay.
So it's still a pretty good metric, and it's kind of shocking that years later, Friends is still number one, and that certainly points to why Netflix paid, I believe it was $100 million to keep it on the service through the next year.
Well, it's interesting, too, that it's because it's a whole new generation is discovering it, right? Like, it's like mm-hmm. Friends, Frasier, a lot of those shows, like new kids are watching it.
Well, maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but I think back in the day, you had syndication, right? And we still have syndication, but I think people would discover sitcoms about 5 to 10 years later when they'd come home from school and there'd be 13 episodes on in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I think binging is kind of working the same way. That's why you're seeing shows like Friends pop up in this way where, oh yeah, I've heard of that. There's hundreds of episodes I can watch versus, say, 20 episodes of 13 Reasons Why.
Right.
So it's a little easier to just come on and zone out for that after school.
Exactly. And you know, Alexander, I got to admit, my partner and I watch Friends, but this is his choice. So I like to fall asleep to the TV. We set the sleep timer. It's Friends mm-hmm. every single night, every single day of our relationship. And he assures me it will be till the day we die. It's just the thing we fall asleep to because we know what it is. I used to do this with The West Wing, which is still mm-hmm. on Netflix. I know the material, so I can kind of just like tune out. But even mm-hmm. still, even when I'm actively watching, we watch The Office, Parks and Recreation. We go through the whole thing and we start it over again.
I mean, like you're saying, there's that comfort factor there, right? Versus the overwhelming amount of content that's coming out, not just from Netflix, but Hulu and Prime Video, the broadcast networks. You know what you're getting into with a Friends or an Office. You're going to turn it on. You might see your favorite bits. It's almost like listening to music in the background in a certain way.
It is very background-like. Yeah, because I spend, you know, it's funny because I get Friends on or whatever it might be, and then I'm on my phone the whole darn time. But I know when the good jokes are coming. So here's the thing. I do watch other things out there, but you're going to let us know some other things that we might be able to binge box to binge on that'll help us for the next week. Let's start with something that's debuting. Is that this Friday on Netflix, Bird Box?
Yeah, it's out as of today. It's on Netflix right now. It's a new movie starring Sandra Bullock. There's a ton of other stars in it. Sarah Paulson, John Malkovich, B.D. Wong, who I'm a huge fan of, is in the movie. And if you saw Quiet Place, it has a bit of a different origin, but it's almost like that. It takes place in a society where these monsters attack, and if you look at them, you go insane. So everybody is wandering around with blindfolds on. So instead of a quiet place where you can't make a sound, this one you can't look at anybody. And it's pretty harrowing to watch. It's pretty intense. There's a lot of pregnant lady danger. There's a lot of child danger that happens in it. As a parent, I was definitely tense the entire time. But Sandra Bullock's performance is great in it. So if you're a fan of her, as long as you like horror movies, I think you'll have a fun time.
Listen,
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, I can't do that stuff. I can't. I can barely watch The Handmaid's Tale. It's too depressing.
Really?
No, I don't need any more depressing things to watch.
Stop yelling at Alexander. He's giving these ideas.
I'm sorry, Alexander. I know it's not your fault.
No, it's all right.
Let's go to Hulu because a second season out of a superhero show, that's going to be a little bit more family friendly, maybe.
Oh, boy, that's a bad recommendation.
Okay, never mind. That's okay.
So the concept of Marvel's Runaways, they had a first season that debuted on Hulu, I believe, late last year. And the concept is that a bunch of kids find out that their parents are essentially supervillains. And so, per the title, they run away. The second season all dropped on Hulu this morning, actually. And it is a lot more fun. It is the kids versus the parents, so it isn't necessarily exactly family friendly, but there's fun superpowers in it. There's complicated shenanigans that go on, and if you're a fan of the superhero stuff, I think there's a lot to enjoy.
I never heard of Watership Down. What is this?
Oh, it sounds like you weren't traumatized in your childhood like I was.
Wait, is it a book? It was a book, right? Or a series?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I remember this. So what, it's now animated, a new animated series, right?
Yeah, so there was the original book. They made an animated movie that traumatized an entire generation of children.
Let's do it again!
The characters are rabbits in it, so it's all animated. And there's a new four-episode series, co-produced with the BBC, that's debuting on Netflix this Sunday, so it should be up there first thing in the morning. There's an all-star cast in it: John Boyega, Olivia Colman, Ben Kingsley, James McAvoy, Peter Capaldi. I could go on and on. Basically, if they live in England, they're in the show playing a rabbit. But the animation is very good. It's very dark, so again, maybe not the best thing to watch with your family, mm-hmm. unless you want to traumatize the kids. But it's well done. The music is good. It's definitely one worth checking out.
So, Alexander, how much harder has your job gotten now that you have all of these other platforms that you constantly have to watch? I mean, you're just watching it all the time.
Yeah, I should invite you guys to our morning meetings, because that's all we talk about every single day. Is just, it gets to the point where there is so much. We have a relatively small staff, and I think they do a fantastic job of covering basically everything, which stuns me on a daily basis. But when I was putting together my best of the year, I put together a spreadsheet of all the TV shows that I had watched, forgetting about everybody on the team, but that I had watched. And I found out that in total, entire runs of series, not including old things that I watched again or just pilots that I watched and didn't keep up with the series, I watched, I believe, 63 television series this year.
Whoa.
Which is more than a television show a week. It's insane.
Are your eyes bleeding?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Right now, actually, on the couch.
Just kidding.
The pajamas,
yeah. But listen, out of those, all of those 60 whatever you watched, what are the top three you think people should watch?
Can you tease us a little bit? Is that article out yet?
Yeah. We put up our best of the year. Our best of the year actually was Glow. We chose that as number one.
Love it.
The course of the team, we kind of culled everybody's votes together and did some complicated math to figure it out. But Glow, the Netflix show about the gorgeous Lady of Wrestling Foundation, chose that as number one. It was pretty much a perfect series.
It's actually one that I've definitely got on my list. It's up there, and G's giving it the real enthusiastic thumbs up right now.
I'd like to be a female wrestler.
What would your name be?
It'd be like G Money or something.
Ooh, that's a good one. Hey, if you were a wrestler, Alexander, what would yours be?
The Alphabet Man, because I'm Alex Albin, so A-Z, I guess.
Oh, A to Z, I like that one. Hey, can you stay on the line? We want to chat about a few of the things, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're talking with Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. More from Alex and G and myself, John Hansen, here on 720 WGN. Happy Friday, everybody, and maybe a Friday ahead of a long break. If you got it, you're lucky. 312-981-7200, G and John here on for Bill and Wendy, and we'll take you up till noon until the Winter's Business Lunch. With that promo, by the way, was interesting. Liberal-owned businesses, you can just find those. So Steve's going to break all that down when we go over to the stream. We're talking with Alexander Zalbin from Decider.com. And Alexander, before we get to a couple of the other, I just pulled up the list on Decider.com of the top TV shows. So when you think that there's already too many streaming services out there, you guys mentioned in one of your opening graphs that, well, we may have reached a critical mass. We're going to have even more options in 2019 for streaming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been using the phrase peak TV for a while now. We have not reached that peak. And particularly in the next year, not only is Netflix continually ramping up the amount of content they're doing, and Hulu and Prime Video not quite going as big, but certainly trying to ramp up to compete. The two big things that are going to happen by the end of the year is we're going to see the introduction of the Disney Plus streaming service, which is going to have some huge shows. It's going to have Marvel superhero shows. It's going to have Star Wars shows. It's going to have adaptations of all the various Disney properties. There's a stealth one on there that I don't think people should ignore, where they're doing a High School Musical show that was a huge hit back in the day. And then Warner has also announced that they're going to do the Warner Media service. We don't know much about that yet, but the suspicion is that it's to compete directly with Disney Plus, and they have a whole catalog as well. They've got the DC superheroes. They've got the Harry Potter movies. They've got so much stuff out there. So by the end of the year, there's going to be some huge changes with streaming, and my suspicion is we are going to reach some sort of critical mass there where people are just going to have to start making decisions in terms of the services that they can actually pay for.
As I scroll on this list, I got to ask, is this just a streaming list, or is this all TV shows you guys were pulling from?
No, this is all TV shows.
Oh, yeah, because your number two has an NBC sitcom, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, everything streams, right?
Right.
You know, a TV show goes on broadcast, and then it's almost immediately available on streaming. So as long as you could stream it at some point, we thought it was valid for the list.
Well, listen, I pay for all the services because once I sign up for one, I don't know how to cancel it. So I end up paying for all of them. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Right. I think I just borrow from everyone else's. I think I'm still using my 3X's ago's Hulu account. So there we go. No.
Well, he should pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and if I just would have scrolled down, I would have seen that it wasn't just the streaming services because your number two was an NBC show, right?
That's right. It's A Good Place at number two. That show is so good. I wish more people were watching it, but luckily it was picked up for a season four, so certainly going to continue for a good long while. It's so creative, so smart, and so much fun.
I was kind of actually surprised how high up I saw the list from Netflix. They did a reboot of Queer Eye, and so I watched. Oh, CG, you're getting all excited. I was not. I thought it was cute. Some of the things were funny, but I personally was not a huge fan of the Queer Eye reboot. And gee, you seem to be flabbergasted.
Wait, the season one reboot? Now, they have season two of the reboot, but I think one was unbelievable. I cried in every episode.
See, I felt like it was really manufactured, and they were really kind of tailoring things to try and get that response from you. And I don't like when a producer tries to toy with my emotions in a way where it's so diligent. I don't know where you landed on Queer Eye, Alexander.
To be perfectly honest, and this is one of my
favorite
with the amount of stuff, I haven't seen it yet. I know that I'm going to enjoy it because every single person in my life has told me, oh, you'll cry, you'll love it, it's so wonderful. But the rest of the staff saw it, and that's the reason that it's ranked so high.
Yeah.
Listen, anytime that you take a burly guy with like a big bushy beard and like long hair, and he's just like this good old guy who doesn't really think much of himself and grooming, and then you take him, you get the beard gone, you give him a little grooming pointers, and he turns out to be so handsome. I cry.
Yeah, look, it does some really interesting things. It's a cool slice of life sort of thing. I just don't like things that are overly. And that's funny coming from me. I work for a morning TV show.
It's all about self-esteem and self-worth.
I know. Sorry, we're supposed to involve Alexander in this conversation. What came in at number three on that list? Killing Eve. I've never heard of this show.
This show is so good, and I highly recommend everybody watch it. This is on BBC America. It stars Sandra Oh, who a lot of people probably know from Grey's Anatomy, and a relative newcomer called Jodie Comer, though she's been on several shows up to now. And it's about I think she's an FBI agent, whatever she is. She's an agent, and she's pursuing a vicious assassin killer played by Jodie Comer, and they're kind of, it almost plays out like a romance, where they become obsessed with each other to the point where it plays out as this very delicate dance. It's very funny, it's very weird, it's very violent at times, but it's really good. And if you know the name Phoebe Waller-Bridge at all, which you definitely should know, she's the creator of another excellent show called Fleabag. She was the behind-the-scenes person on this, and it brings her incredible, weird, quirky sensibility to it. Definitely check it out. I'm sure you can stream it on BBC America and a number of other places.
Fleabag was tragic. I highly recommend it, but you've got to be prepared for it.
Yeah. It's so good. And she's doing a live version. It was actually based on a one-person show. She's doing a revival of it here in New York, and tickets went on sale, and I think 5 minutes later I bought tickets. So wow. Very excited to check it out.
If Fleabag's really, what'd you call it? You said it was
tragic.
Well, then that's perfect for our recommendations for this holiday season. We're right in line with really bringing the joy. Hey, Alexander, remind people where we can find out more of your work and what you do.
Decider.com. Head there every day. You know, like everybody else, we'll be slowing down a little bit for the holidays as the news slows down, but we got new content and recommendations every single day of the week for you, whether it's streaming or broadcast or otherwise.
Alexander, we appreciate your time, okay?
Thanks so much for having me on. Great chatting with you.
Have a good one. Yeah, thank you. Especially since we went off all the topics that he didn't even send us that he wanted to cover. We went in our own direction.
Sorry, that was my fault.
So you and I are going to have a fight about Queer Eye. It's going to be during the news break. Where can people find this on our Twitter pages? What's your Twitter page, G?
It's G _ CST.
All right. Is that your Twitter?
No.
Or no, your Instagram.
Wait, OMG. Go to my Instagram. I just said the wrong thing. Okay. My Instagram is OH_EM_JI.
All right.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys playing with
720 WGN. bringing us perfectly into the holiday mood here with a little sullen song. What is that song, Jasmine? I actually don't know that song. I have no idea.
It's Stevie Wonder.
Oh,
Someday
oh
at Christmas.
I can't believe
okay
you don't know that
well
song.
Give it to
right,
this
Jasmine? I'm shocked.
I thought you were going to start a little later on when Stevie came in. I don't know.
You guys got to get into it.
Right.
Listen, I knew who
she
I knew.
Knew who
I knew. I was in it.
All right, I'm in trouble.
I need some eggnog.
Yeah, I need it with a little kick in it. That'd be great. 720 WGN, John Hansen here. Jisoo Gyi from Chicago Sun-Times. And you know her from Windy City Live, of course. And we're going to chat a little bit about the holidays. Obviously, it's on everyone's mind here. And yesterday, we talked about and got lambasted for suggesting that people maybe don't love every single one of their in-laws. And that would not include me or my
listen,
family, of course.
Listen, we're friends here, okay?
Yes.
You got to think about us as though we're your friends and mm-hmm. take everything we're saying with mm-hmm. the you know the best with the best intention.
Yes.
Yeah, the holidays are great. It's great to have family, but it's also super stressful.
Yeah, it can be stressful, but I think one of the best ways and one of the most unexpected ways to find joy in the holiday time is by not just sitting around or drinking or talking or opening presents, whatever you do with your family. Maybe the football game's on or the bowl mm-hmm. games are on, you're watching that. That can become so passive. The thing that has really brought our family, honestly, closer together, but also just like the lasting laughter of memories, is by actually playing games. And it seems so corny to sit down and play either like a board game together or some other ones. And it really can be a lot of fun. It makes people laugh. And I don't know if it's on this list, but Gia, I think I talked about this after Thanksgiving, so forgive me if you've heard me talk about this before. But have you ever heard of the game Telestrations, G?
No, I have not.
So that is a game, and I don't think it's on the list. It's not technically a board game. This is something that everybody needs to buy.
Is this because you're telegenic? Is that why
nope.
you're playing this game?
Nope. And they didn't pay me to say anything like this. I don't even know who makes the game, but you can find it wherever you buy your games or online, I'm sure. It's called Telestration. So have you ever played the game? Like it's like telephone. You know, like when I say, you know, you get seven people in a row and someone whispers something to the next person and you see how that message changes by the time it gets to the end. Well, this is done via like almost like Pictionary. So everyone has like a dry erase little board and booklet in front of them, and they start with a clue. Each person has a different word, a different thing, or a different phrase, and they have a card and they figure out what it is. And then you have to write down that word and then draw the scene. So if it's
so it's like
cow,
Pictionary?
It is. But so here's the thing, is you have a booklet, you write down cow and you draw a cow. You then pass it to the next person and they don't know what the word is. They only see your drawing. And then they have to write down what they think it is. So maybe they think it's a horse. Maybe it's not drawn right. Maybe they think it's a farm because you drew more of a landscape, whatever. So then that person writes down what their guess is. And you're also at the same time writing down your guess of the person in front of you. So everyone has different words. This is all happening at once. Everyone has a booklet at the same time going
on. Oh, John,
all
I am so confused right now. Your holiday family tradition is confusing
no,
me.
No, it's a game. So just picture telephone where the one instead of one booklet moving around, all the booklets are moving around all at once. So you're either guessing what the person drew before you or you're drawing something based on the word. So anyways, let's say I draw a cow. Person thinks it's a horse. They write the word horse. The next person then can only look at the word beforehand, so horse, and then they have to try and draw the horse. So it changes. The drawings change all the way around, and then you reveal at the end, everyone goes, and they show the pictures of what everyone drew. And it's so funny because most people don't know how to draw, and they're terrible at it, and you end up with the funniest responses, and you see how you go from cow to animal farm, you know, whatever it might be. There's better examples of it out there. That's super fun.
You did a nice job.
Did I just bore everyone?
No, you didn't. You know what? It's like your uncle with secondhand news, you know? It's
yeah.
like that skit.
Yes.
So basically, it starts off with something, but then it turns into something else.
Yes.
What other board games do you guys play?
Well, we usually gamble. We don't play board games. That's the only game we play. We play Left, Right, Center with dollar bills. Have you ever played Left, Right, Center?
No.
Ooh, gee.
Ooh, it sounds like something I could make some money at.
It is something you can make some money at, especially, if you bring all the kids around, they're not as good at it. So, no, the way it works is left, right, center. So everyone starts with $3 bills in front of them. You can play with quarters or dimes or pennies or 20s if you're having more fun. So everyone has $3 bills in front of them. Got it? And then you have three dice, and you pass these dice around. The dice either have a dot on it, a L, a C, or an R. So if you have $3 in front of you, you roll these three dice. One might be a dot. You keep a dollar in front of you. You don't move that dot. One might have an L. You move that one to the person to the left. So they have $4 now. One might be a right and you move it to the right. One might be center and that's the pot. So slowly but surely, the money starts going into the center. You pass the dice around. You only roll as many dollars. So if you only have $1 left, you only roll one dice, and that dollar is either staying with you or it's moving to the left, the right, or the center. So what happens is, at the end of the day, there's only $2 left on the table. They're between two people. They go back and forth. But anyone can get back in the game because that dollar moves around the table. And if you have a dollar in front of you, you're alive in the game.
See, now this is my kind of game. It requires no skill whatsoever. So this is what I like.
So left, right, center, I play Telestrations. I know you all play some games out there that make everybody laugh, have a good time, and we want to hear about them.
Or what about just some holiday traditions, too?
Yeah, 312-981-7200. What do you get? And I really want to talk about what makes people laugh. Like, I mean, that's what the holidays really should be about. You know, we talk, I mean, there's plenty of politics. My mouth dropped when Kim mentioned the Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing, and I need her to hold on for a long time for many different reasons. That's my own personal opinion. Certainly don't need to talk about it this holiday season. Let's not talk about the government shutdown. Let's move that aside. Let's talk about and have fun and laugh with each other, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you guys play any games?
Well, you know what? I come from a very small family, so there's not enough of us really to play Monopoly or any of those board games, because it's just really boring, you know? It's just, you don't have enough people, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Playing Sorry, and there's two of you.
No, here. I know. It's not exciting. So we just end up, having wine and talking. And
that's your game?
Yeah, that's our game. We open up a bottle of wine.
How many people are there usually at your celebration?
Well, usually it's just mom and me. Then my family's complicated. So then I got to go see the brothers at this place. And, you know, somebody's not talking to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so then I got three houses to go to. It's a very complicated situation.
Got a text from the 224. My family plays it all the time. I think they're talking about left, right, center. Mm-hmm. Another 708 says, best dice game ever. Last time I played, I won 3 times. Won about $90 because it kept on rolling over. Fun, and you can drink. They play another texture. A lot of people play this game. 630 says, we play wild left, right, center. The wild spot means you can take a coin from someone else. Oh, so like if you get a W, or maybe it is, you can grab someone else's dollar.
Mm.
My dad always wins, so I would love to take some of his away. And then you can play, you don't need the special dice for left, right, center. You can just play with regular dice. And you could just make designations. 1, 2, 3 is like, you don't move it. 6 to the center, 5 to the... That's a really good idea.
Well, I like this idea. You're keeping the money in the family. It's not like going to the casino where you're losing it to the house.
Right.
Somebody in the family is getting richer.
Let's go on to the phone lines. Drew, what do you play with your family around the holidays?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Great recommendation. It's actually a game that you get on your phone. It's called Heads Up.
Oh, yes.
I've played that.
Basically, yeah, it's broken into different categories. You can have teams. You can have everyone going against each other. It can be things like, it's animals, and you'd have to describe an animal, and if the person gets it, they nod their phone, and it moves on to the next one. Where it gets really entertaining is where it's almost, you can do like charade type things, like skiing or sneezing, and you have to try and act them out and get the person to guess them. The real fun is at the end, because it actually records you while you're doing this, so you get to watch the video of everyone trying to guess these things, and it is just a laugh riot.
Right, because you get to see, it has the video where it's looking out, so you get to see what the player saw, the shocked faces, the wonder faces, and everyone gets to see themselves.
Well, first of all, exactly. Drew, you sound like a spokesman for this game. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely incredible.
Are you working with Ellen? Yeah.
No, I'd like to think I'm a bit of a board game aficionado. We play a lot around the holidays with the in-laws, and this is the one that really kind of stood out. It's something that everyone can do, kids, adults. You can be as involved or as uninvolved as you'd like.
Heads Up kind of reminds me of that game show a long time ago. Wasn't there a game show with people in front of a pyramid? And then they had to describe it.
$25,000 pyramid?
Yes, that's what it kind of reminds me of.
Drew, that's a great suggestion. Have a great holiday, okay?
You too. Thanks.
All right. Absolutely. Someone texted in, my family plays left, right, center. I'm surprised the police haven't been called because we're so loud, because it gets so dramatic. It's so exciting. Let's go to, am I getting this right? BD. BD, you're on WGN.
Hey, there's a game we have probably played for the last 35 years, and you can play it with 3 people to as many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a family game I learned from my wife. It's called Spoons.
Oh, yeah.
So if you had 8 people at the table, you had 7 spoons, and you started with a deck of cards. And the minute somebody got 3 of a kind, they started picking up spoons. the odd man out without a spoon dropped out.
It's like musical chairs, but with spoons. But to be able to grab the first spoon, everyone's right. dealt a hand, and you pass cards one at a time. If you don't need it, you pass it to the next person. You don't need it. And, BD, did you play it where if you got spoons, you tried to be secretive to pull your spoon? So maybe you had a spoon for a long time because people can't touch it. Or maybe you do. Did you ever do fakeouts where you try and make...
Oh, yeah, and if whoever... Whoever pulled the first one had approved. They had three of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, you were out.
No, oh, that's a great one. BD, you going to play it this year?
The only thing, yeah, we'll play it this year is when you play with adults, they get a little violent.
That's what we want at the holidays. Yeah, because that spoon.
So you can do it with a small family or a large family.
Yeah, because if you go for that first spoon, you might knock it off the table down the other side of the room, and then you got to go get it. Anyways, BD, we really appreciate the phone call. Have a great holiday.
BD is telling me that I need to play spoons with my mother. It's something that we can do together. It just takes two people, and it's going to end in violence.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break, then I'm going to fix the phone button, which I just broke here on 720 WGN. Having a blast here so far this morning with G. Suki, and I'm John Hance. I was told to slow down with our host name. They just want to make sure they know who we are. We're filling in for Bill and Wendy, and we both talk fast.
Yes, we do. And I'm just known as G.
You're just known as G.
The letter G.
Just like the letter G?
Yeah. Well, it's spelled J-I.
Right, exactly. We're talking about games to play around the holidays. 773 said, we play Flip Cup in teams. No beer for the kids, though. But a year, it's a bragging right. So if you win, you have bragging rights the whole year. So even at Easter or at Flag Day, I don't know why you're getting together for that. But
this is a family that remembers things all throughout the year.
We had someone text in, what was the name of the game? The first caller said it's called Heads Up. It's an app. They have a few, you can buy it for, you can get it for free, and then you get a few clues, and you can pay like 99 cents to get more advanced clues. 773 also added Heads Up, and they also said an oldie but goodie is Outburst. Actually, we had our hotel door knocked down by security playing Outburst with the kids. Guess we sounded like a wild party. 630 says we play a version of Korean poker with tile cards and pictures, and I never knew my parents can be so into gambling for dollar bills.
Oh,
yeah, you learn a lot about the family.
A lot of gambling in my family, too.
Out in Michigan, they say that we sound great today. Thanks, guys. We appreciate that. And that they play something called Michigan Rummy, where you play with pennies and board and cards. It's fun. Interesting. Michigan Rummy.
You know, that's the best thing about the holidays, because I remember being a kid, and that was the thing I wanted to do most, was to be included.
Yeah.
Like, included with the adults. I wanted to hang out with the cooler kids that were older, like the teenage cousins. You know, that was the thing you wanted. You just want to be included as a kid.
That's a good point. As an adult, I don't want to include the kids. But no, you're right. In left, right, center, stuff like that. And then maybe after you put them to bed, you can have your own adult game. By the way, Telestrations, the game I was telling you about, has an adult version, too.
Ooh.
So I don't know what the clues would be. We'll tell you all about it in the stream if you hang on after 12. 219 says, my family plays hide and no seek. We all avoid each other and don't look.
Now that is funny.
Oh, that's really
hilarious.
Good. 312 says they've been scratched up during spoons, where you go and grab the spoons and someone grabs them in front of you.
Well, he did say it gets pretty physical.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
I'm going to get my mom ready for this game.
Right. You versus your mom in a two-person game of spoons, even though there would only be one spoon then, G.
I know.
And then one person grabs it, that's the game.
She'll be like, okay.
That's the saddest game.
She'll be like, time to eat, honey. Come on.
You should introduce your mom to spoons. Do it on Facebook Live.
Goodness.
And I want to see you.
You would love my mom. She's like a Korean American little southern redneck lady. Hillbilly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
she's
a
like
combo.
A southern accent. Yeah.
Oh, because she's from the Carolinas, right? Yeah.
Because that's where we grew up.
Well, I mean, not from, but she's moved there.
Yeah.
Let's go to Elena. Elena, you're on 720 WGN. What game do you play with the family to get everyone laughing?
Scattergories, by far, is so fun. My daughter's boyfriend played with us one time, and that's where you get a letter and you have to write down things that go with it. Let's say baseball teams that begin with B. But this particular one, it was street names, and he's from Canada, so I'll give him that excuse. He's writing nicknames like Killer and, you know, Bosco, thinking it was supposed to be, you know, street cred names rather than just names that started with it. And what's fun about it is you argue. Like, my son will give me such a hard time saying, that doesn't count. There's no such thing or place or whatever. And we laugh so hard because we all, you know, are fighting to win. And for G, an old game that just came to mind listening to you guys that you could just play with your mom, it's a lot of fun, is slap the jack, whistle the queen, and boo the king. It's a ooh, card game. Ooh. And it's so hard to whistle when you're laughing so hard. So just, you know, those are my two favorites.
Oh, Elena, that's really sweet.
I am. Thank you. I'm going to Google that and find out how to play.
So by the way,
it's just a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Ooh. Slap the jack, whistle the queen, oh, and boo the king.
Gotcha. That'll go along well with the wine, the other game we like to play.
Yeah, drink the wine. That'll really make that game interesting. What I love about Scattergories now, Elena, do you play where, first of all, it's always a bummer when you roll that 26 or it's a multi-side dice and you end up with a letter that you don't like necessarily. It's hard to do.
It's a killer.
Do you do
it's
double points? Like if you, let's say it's store names and it's you go with B and you go Best Buy. That's worth 2 points, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh, so you're a very competitive player. Yes.
Oh, yes. I got into Scattergories. We played it as a kid with my neighbors. That's a fun one for kids, too.
Yes, it is. And, you know, this is a great topic. Thank you so much. I'm writing down the ones you guys suggested, and I think I agree with you that this is, you know, we're mainly adults now, and this is what we really love doing is just having fun playing games, and it makes it so much fun.
Well, write down, and I appreciate that, write down Telestrations. That you have to get.
I already did. I had Tele, and then I couldn't remember the second part. So
Telestrations.
I will not put down Stations.
Absolutely. Elena, have a great
Spoons
holiday.
I highly recommend, too.
Yes, yeah, Spoons is great.
We had a big group for a sleepover, and the kids came in, and they, I mean, we're talking hundreds of kids. They were all playing Spoons and having a great time. It was a riot to
where do you
see
get
so
all
many
those
people
spoons?
Playing the same game.
Where do you get all those spoons from?
Well, everybody had to bring one.
Bring so your own spoon.
Hopefully they went home with the same one they brought.
Thank you, Elena. Have a great day. That is what it is all about. You know, and whether you have a small gathering, a complicated gathering,
right,
a big gathering, I don't know. We just get so bogged down in our day-to-day lives with this stuff. Just try and have a moment to relax and laugh.
Well, we were talking about being good at adulthood, right?
Right.
And I think as you grow up and as you get older into adulthood, you realize it's really about time. And it's great to have the time to spend with your family and people that you don't see very often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the presents. It's not about, you know, how much someone spent on a present.
Right.
It's just about getting that time with people that you love.
And
maybe sometimes don't get along with, too.
Right, right.
All of that's important.
And then maybe an idea if you're struggling for a gift idea. Wrap up a game. Bring the game on over. Someone wanted to know, how do you win left, right, center? So if you, a lot of people are writing this down. I have a new generation of gamblers coming out of this show. What happens is if you roll one of the die and it comes up with a C or a center, or if you play where you designate a different number for a different thing, you slowly but surely the dollars will be going into the center. You know, one out of every six rolls will get into the center. And what happens is you only have so many dollars left on the outside. So eventually it's $1 versus $1, one person versus one person. Eventually one of those two people will roll a center. So the last person remaining with a dollar, they get all the money that has gone into the center. Oh, 815 says we play Salad Bowl. It's like charades on crack. Okay. Well, it'd be interesting to see that. 847 says, we play games with the family and the friends at the holidays. The ones that really got everyone's attention is when I wrapped a gift in the middle with a ranging wrap. Okay. Then you take smaller gift candles in the saran wrap and you make bigger and bigger balls. So basically, you're just wrapping up this sort of thing. And to play, you get a pair of dice. You start with one person trying to unwrap a gift while the next person is trying to roll doubles. As soon as doubles are rolled, so 2 sixes, 2 fives, 2 fours, or whatever, as soon as doubles are rolled, the ball is passed to the dice roller and the dice are passed to the next person, so you get to keep the prize you unwrap. So there's wild unwrapping going on, and we're getting a lot of other suggestions. Guess what? We're gonna get to talk about some of these other suggestions on the stream. That'll be fun, G.
We're streaming.
We will be streaming afternoon, and obviously the Winter's Business Lunch will be here on 720 WGN. So, G, sit down, play some spoons or whistle the jack or whatever the heck that is with your mom, right?
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.